Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's the same in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. All this month we've been talking about freedom, freedom from things, freedom to change to something else. And this week I want to do a little three-day series here, and I'm going to use as a launching pad Romans 6. Now, most of you are probably familiar with Romans 6, and we always think of it in terms of what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? By no means. I mean, that's where the focus is. But what Paul talks about in this chapter is freedom from and freedom to. So today we'll look at the freedom from section, tomorrow freedom to, and then I want to move to Galatians and look at freedom to do what on Wednesday.
So it'll be a nice three-day series.
Yeah, today the first few verses, I'm going to go ahead and read them, and then I'll talk about how this word freedom is used. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Remember that. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. So here we have one of the great classic questions. Okay, I've been saved, and grace is wonderful. I guess that means I can go out and do anything I want. And you know, God is saying through Paul, well, of course not. I mean, we're not talking about what do I want to do, how do I want to, because that is slavery talk.
Yes.
That is slavery talk. But because we are in Christ, we have literally died to sin. Died to sin. And because we've died to sin, we are now set free from sin. Now, this word for free is a slightly different word than many of the other words for freedom. And this one actually comes from a root that means more like to be justified or whatever. And what happens here in the way Paul uses it, because he talks about this word that sometimes means justified from sin, it means that we haven't just been declared innocent because we weren't innocent. We were forgiven.
Right.
That's a difference. What has happened is we have been liberated from the sin that held me captive, that held you captive. That's an incredibly vital point. And we talk about being free from sin and all of that, and we go, oh, yeah, I guess that means I don't smoke anymore. That's not it at all. You know, that's not it at all. There is something that God did in Jesus Christ that literally, literally liberated us from the sin which held us prisoners. We are no longer slaves to sin.
Yeah.
Now, that's the first half of that. And remember, it says here, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. So not only did you die to sin, but you died to the law.
Right.
And we have to keep that in mind, and we'll get into that tomorrow. But this freedom from deal, is so much more than what we typically think of it.
Yeah.
Jesus was that powerful, that important, and that victorious. Yeah.
That's good stuff, Richard. Thank you for opening the broadcast with it. This is, of course, Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis. I'm here with Richard Pfeiffer, and we'd love for you to join us at 844-322-2742. That, of course, is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are pretty much wide open. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Got a question? Call now. In the meantime, let's go talk to Mike, listening in Jeffersonville, Indiana, with an interesting question. Mike, we welcome you to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
My question is in regard to before creation. If God is omniscient and God created Satan, knowing that Satan would turn evil, why are people held accountable for their sin when God was the one who really initially created sin?
Well, Mike, you ask a question that I used to ask on purpose when I was a little kid. I went to a church school, and every year, twice a year, we would have what was called a week of spiritual emphasis or a week of prayer. And they would bring in some minister from some local church, and he would come and talk to us. And every time, usually on Thursday or Friday, they'd say, "Do you have any questions?" And I would raise my hand. And I would ask the exact same question you ask. And every time, they wouldn't answer it. And the reason they wouldn't answer it is because at that time, the church I was going to, was a member of, was a very legalistic, behaviorally based church. And they didn't think about root cause. They only thought about, well, regardless of how bad you are, you can work hard enough and be good enough that God will like you. And so they didn't have an answer for it. And so that question stuck in my craw for many, many, many years. I'm not sure I can answer it satisfactorily for you, but there are a couple of things that I want to point out. God did not create Satan. God created an angel named Lucifer, who was one of the chief angels, based on what the Bible says. Angels apparently have the ability to choose for themselves whether they were going to serve God or do something else. Satan, Lucifer, decided that for some reason God wasn't being fair to him. And so Satan chose to rebel. That doesn't make God the creator of Satan or the creator of sin. Right? If you built a car, And it was a brand new kind of car, and it was just the greatest thing ever, and you sold the car to some driver, and that driver promptly does what happened in Nice, France a week or so ago and drives up on a sidewalk and kills a bunch of people. Are you responsible for the sin of killing all those people? Of course you're not. Of course you're not.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The problem with that, going down that road, is if God is omniscient, he knows everything past, present, and future. And I'm not going to argue that he's not. I believe he is.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then he knew the nanosecond that he created Satan. The angel prior to Satan becoming Lucifer, he knew he was going to turn bad. So if he knew that and knew the consequence of that throughout creation and the destruction that it has wreaked, why would God do that?
So, we don't have time to get into the depths of this, but let me try a little bit more with you. God's omniscience is not causative. The fact that he knows all possible outcomes from all of history and into all of future, in fact, omniscience in all of eternity, which is far beyond what we understand as time, his knowledge is not causative. However, if he, knowing the likelihood, even if it was 100% certainty that Lucifer was going to choose to go the other way, if God then said, well, no, I can't create this one because this one will go bad, and then I can't create someone else because they'll go bad, then there's no freedom. And God seems to be, based on what the Bible teaches, very, very interested in freedom, in the power to choose something. And it's not the power to be completely independent, because we were created to be dependent beings. It's the power to depend on whom. Are you going to depend on yourself or depend on God himself through Jesus Christ? Back in that time, was Lucifer going to choose himself, or was he going to choose God? And God, as near as I can figure out, was concerned enough that Lucifer have the right to choose that, that he allowed him to choose it. Okay, even though he knew what was coming. In all of the pain and agony that has ensued from that, God has still maintained sovereignty. He hasn't let Satan kill everybody, but he hasn't prevented people from dying either. And right. So that's the way I look at it. The Bible actually doesn't say much more than this, and I'm probably stretching it too far as it is, and so I don't want to do that.
Sure.
But it's one of those questions that I will be, you know, getting in line at some point to say, okay, Father, why? You know, what was it that was working in your mind and in the Godhead itself that allowed this sort of thing to happen? And you know, what would have happened if you had prevented it? Because that's the real question. Regardless of what has happened, the real question is, well, why didn't you stop it? And the best answer I can come up with is that God is interested in freedom more than he's interested in compulsion. That's where I leave it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Thank you.
Hope you keep listening and give us a call again. Very penetrating question.
It is.
Mike. Yeah.
It's an important question, and I'm glad he asked it, because so many times we Christians are guilty of running around pie in the sky and, you know, I love Jesus and he loves me and everything's just fine, thank you.
Hunky-dory.
Well, yeah. No, it's not just fine. We live in a heinous world. Yeah. And the fact that from my belief perspective now, the fact that Jesus came and dealt with this evil stuff once and for all, even though from a timeline perspective, it doesn't look like he finished it, that's important to me.
Yeah.
Remember last week, one of the things I said, I think it was during the teaching edition, is that never in the history of the world have we had to appease an angry God.
No.
Never once. He has always initiated to us, and that is so important. And so I don't mind hard questions. I don't have full answers to all the hard questions, and I'm glad I don't, because that would make me God, and you don't really want me as God.
I don't want to deal with you.
Truly.
No.
So thanks,
when we
Mike.
Don't know, we'll just say we don't know. But anyway, I appreciate the question, and we have open lines for you right now. Give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? February 7th through the 18th are the dates for our visit to Israel. And we have arranged for you a visit that you'll never forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, places you've heard about and stories you've read all your Christian life coming alive before your eyes. The Jezreel Valley, site of the future Battle of Armageddon. The Sea of Galilee, where Jesus gathers the disciples. The Mount of Beatitudes. The Jordan River, where John was baptizing. Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" And, "Who do you say that I am?" The Dead Sea and Qumran, discovery site of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. The Shepherd's Fields, where the Messiah's birth was heralded by angels. And the city of our redemption, Jerusalem itself. The Temple Mount and the Western or Wailing Wall. The Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion, and you'll visit the empty garden tomb. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel, this February. Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? The registration deadline is August 1st. Click events at basicgospel.net for all the information. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net.
And friends, I know you have a calendar too, but again, that registration deadline is 1 week from today. So we hope that if you've been really, really feeling something tugging at your heart about going and participating with us on this trip to the Holy Land, I hope you'll go ahead and get registered today, if at all possible. Again, you can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Click the events tab. All the information is right there. A fantastic trip upcoming. All right, Lacombe, Alberta, let's go talk to Ryan. And Ryan, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Just great program. I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I don't think you recall I came across you guys a couple weeks ago as a Canadian listener.
Yes.
With the terminal brain cancer I was battling. Yeah, just wanted to call in and just say got some results at the tumor stable, so praise God.
Yes, indeed. Wow, it's awesome.
It's quite a feat in itself. My question was, and I know this has kind of been talked about, but I can't seem to shake the feeling, and maybe that's the problem, is it's a feeling and not anchored in the truth. But I feel like when I came to Christ, almost like, I think my mindset was, okay, well, you have a clean slate now, and then you're on your own from here. Almost like it was kind of like those Etch-a-Sketches where it sort of takes all that
yes.
you doodled on, just wipes it clean, and then, well, you, all right, now you're on your own from here. Best of luck as you kind of walk along that steep cliffside trying not
yes.
to fall off. I guess my question is, I know that that's wrong thinking, but I can't quite put my finger on why it's wrong thinking. And I'm maybe hoping that you guys can kind of point me as to why that's wrong thinking, and maybe there's some scripture that you can show me as to know my salvation's, it's a permanent thing. And I also heard, I think it was maybe during one of the calls, about the adoption. So I thought that that was definitely a good one. I was just looking for, some other ideas that you guys had.
Okay. Sure. Two great questions today. This is awesome. So one of the things you have to realize is that Jesus didn't offer forgiveness and eternal life just to turn you loose among the wolves and, best of luck. I love your Etch-a-Sketch analogy. I was one of those kids that used to try to run the Etch-a-Sketch stylus all the way around the end and then do one tiny little click and move it all the way around again, and then we'll move it one little tiny click. And I never could get past the first trip around before I messed up. And my life was like that too. One of the things, one of the reasons you can be assured of your salvation is that according to Ephesians 1, in verse 13 and 14, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So when you accepted Jesus, you were given eternal life. That eternal life is defined as the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is what Jesus came to do when he wiped out the sin problem was to remove the barrier between us and God. We're the ones who erected that barrier. God initiated Jesus in order to destroy that barrier and give us the Holy Spirit back, even though we still have this flesh that needs to be resolved, and it will be eventually. But we've got the Holy Spirit now, and he's not going to take it away. If you compare this or add this into in John 10, where Jesus is talking about the Good Shepherd, and he meanders through that argument, and then he says, oh, by the way, my sheep know my voice. I hold them in my hand, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And you know, the Father is greater than I am, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. That's assurance.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think I looked at it from the perspective of, well, maybe someone else can't, but I'm sure I could wiggle my way through my sin and disobedience. maybe I wiggled my way out, and I don't know. And so I, learning and looking and saying, no, that's a pretty safe place to be in.
Yes.
And I think of the passage in Hebrews that says, too, like, you've been, I think it's made perfect forever.
Yes.
He didn't say you've been made perfect for 2 weeks or until your next sin. It was, you know, you've been made perfect and sanctified forever.
So the issue here is, what happens when I mess up?
Yep.
Now, Jesus died for
future sins.
Yeah. Well, stop worrying. In reality, okay, if you think through the logic of this, there is no such thing as a future sin. There's nothing about sin in my future that I have committed yet, because I'm not there. So sin can only take place in this moment. And in this moment, if I choose not to walk by faith, try to do it on my own, then I've sinned. Well, as soon as I've sinned in this moment, it's in the past. Obviously, Jesus died for all of that. That's the beauty of this eternal gift that he gave us called forgiveness, because his death was once and for all. And so, you know, eternity invaded time at that moment and solved the sin problem. Eternity invaded time at the next moment when the Holy Spirit came and solved the spiritual death problem. Both of those issues have been dealt with once and for all. And if my next failure needed forgiveness, Jesus would have to die again. And he's not going to do that. He only died once. He was only raised once. But both of those were completely sufficient.
That's a great, I think that's a great analogy, because I always think about it. I'm like, ooh, you know, maybe I stepped out too far, or maybe I cherished that sin for a little too long, or maybe I did this. But then I look at it and I'm like, you know what, I'm still filling, you know, I still believe in Jesus. I believe in, you know, and I still, you know, I'm walking in faith, and I'm producing, and I'm looking at the spiritual fruit that's coming out of, you know, my suffering and testimony during, you know, my battling brain cancer, you know, using that to glorify God. And I look at it and I'm like, you know, the flesh wouldn't be acting this way. This is, you know, the Spirit is rejoicing in the opportunity to be able to share my message and the message of Jesus.
So here's what I want you to do. When we talk about everything is by grace through faith, I want you to focus on Jesus, his completed work in the past, and what that means to you right now today, and stop looking at your behavior. Let the Spirit change your mind, change your thinking, change your choices, and then change your actions over time. And keep focused on Jesus, and let the assurance build no matter what.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you so much for your call. We're about out of time. Hope you'll keep listening and call again. Friends, as partners with us at Basic Gospel, your gifts make it possible for Basic Gospel to continue to proclaim Jesus to those who need to hear. We ask you to help today with a generous gift to keep Basic Gospel live, on the air, and online. With your gift of $20 or more, you'll receive Bob Christopher's brand new message, Freedom Fighters. All you need to do is click Basic Gospel and click that donate tab at basicgospel.net. Also want to remind you that we invite you to register for Basic Gospel's daily email. And when you do, you can download your free copy of our e-booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. You know, the most often question most often asked at Basic Gospel is, how can I know that my sins are forgiven? Now, this booklet answers that question loud and clear. Forgiveness is found at the cross of Christ Jesus. Now, this truth will turn fear and guilt into peace and freedom and bring joy and thankfulness to your heart. Coming to grips with what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross will change your life. Just click the blue subscribe tab in the upper left corner of any page at the website, basicgospel.net, to sign up for our daily email, and you get your free copy of Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Again, that's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.